Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, Air, Bord Gáis and Harvey Norman topped the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission's list for consumer complaints last year. Ryanair, Sky, Currys, Vodafone, Aer Lingus, Ticketmaster and Power City made up the rest of the 10 most complained about businesses, according to the CCPC's 2022 Contacts report. Well, on the line to discuss this further is Gráinne Griffin, Director of Communications at the CCPC. Good morning, Gráinne, and thanks for taking our call.
Good morning.
You might just tell us a little bit first about the CCPC, what you do and what this call complaints line does.
Are the National Consumer Protection Authority. So if you have any questions at all about your consumer rights, you can give us a ring on our helpline or you can visit our website, which is ccpc.ie.
So you also provide free and independent information on consumer rights and personal finance. Today's report that's come out shows a total of 32,431 consumers contacted your helpline. Is that an increase or decrease on last year, Gráinne?
That's actually a slight decrease on last year. And what we're seeing is a kind of a return to pre-pandemic levels of calls. So we saw this huge spike in 2020 that continued slightly into last year when consumers had huge issues when during lockdown and contract changes and things like that. So it's kind of a back to normal now for us in terms of the actual numbers. When you look at the list of companies that we receive the most complaints about, what you tend to see is the really big companies with huge numbers of consumers and customers. And a lot of them would be in telecoms or in travel or that kind of areas. But when you look at it then at a sector by sector basis, there are some things that really stand out. So like vehicles and transport, that just tops the list of the sectors that people contacted us about. And that's very much linked back to issues with cars, particularly secondhand cars. We see that consumers experience a lot of issues. And in general, just across all sectors, it's faulty goods and services that we really see time and time again, that consumers come to us. They've bought something, something's now wrong with it, and they want to know what their rights are if they go back to that trader.
Okay, I note as well that 90% of the queries and complaints related to Irish-based businesses. There was also an increase in the number of people that visited your website last year.
That's right. Most of the calls that we get are about things that people have bought. Increasingly in-store, a slight drop in the online sales that would have gone up during COVID. Slight drop also in the number of complaints for items bought from the UK, which is potentially a sign that maybe we've moved past some of those Brexit issues and consumers now are not experiencing the same level of issues there. Huge numbers visited our website. Huge numbers in particular used our money tool comparisons to compare mortgage offerings or to compare current account offerings. And that's very much linked to current account customers of KBC and Ulster Bank probably looking for a new provider. And on mortgages, it's simply one of the ways that consumers can save a lot of money by switching mortgages. So we do see a lot of people looking to compare their mortgage on our site to see if they can get a better deal.
Yeah, today's report was released to mark World Consumer Rights Day. And you mentioned there the banks, but also I'm sure there was an increase maybe or certainly more queries regarding energy and utility companies.
We did. We saw a big increase in energy and utilities specifically. They nearly doubled last year. And that was very much linked to price increases. Like we saw that a lot of businesses put up their prices last year and a lot of consumers contacted us about a range of issues, but in particular to know what their rights are in relation to price increases and can they leave that provider and go to another one without fees.
Okay, and if somebody calls the CCPC helpline either to make a complaint or to get advice, what's the next step and what's the possible outcomes from those phone calls?
For most consumers that call us, they're looking for the information so that they feel empowered and informed when they go back to the trader to make their complaint. And most of the time, they'll resolve those issues with the trader directly. For a lot of people, they will have the option of the small claims court open to them if they want to make a further complaint, or else they'll have the option of a sectoral regulator. For example, with telecoms, you can go to Comreg, or with utilities, you can go to the CRU. But that is generally the next step for most people.
And if people want to get in touch with the CCPC, what's the helpline number? What's the advice that you can give people?
Now, the number is 01402 5555, or you can also check out our website on www.ccpc.ie.
Okay, just to give out that number again, it's 01402 5555, or on the website as well, ccpc.ie. 32,431 consumers contacted the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission helpline last year. 7,000 of those were referred to the Small Claims Court for redress. A reminder, Ayr, Bord Gáis and Harvey Norman topped the list for the complaints that were made. Ryanair, Sky, Currys, Vodafone, Aer Lingus, Ticketmaster and Power City made up the rest of the top 10 most complained about businesses. And you can read that CCPC 2022 contacts report on their website and social media as well. And as I say, today is World Consumer Rights Day. And Director of Communications at the CCPC, Gráinne Griffin, thanks for your time. Now, if you were tuned in to the show yesterday morning around about this time, we spoke to Mike, a resident in the Kilmeag area, who was concerned about the state of the road on the main street in Kilmeag village outside the shop and outside the Castlebawn estate. I got in touch with Kildare County Council and also some of the councillors in that area, and Fine Gael councillor Brendan Wise replied back to me. He says, myself and Dara Fitzpatrick put in a joint list of roads that we think need to be repaired every year for the council to consider. We did ask for this road to be resurfaced as part of the list for 2023. Brendan says the council agreed with us and it is on the roads programme for 2023 with a budget of €200,000 allocated for 900 metres of the road through Kilmeag village. It will be patched as best as possible until the roads programme begins, but it will take a few months for tenders to be drawn up and contracts awarded, as it does every year. He also says, while you're on the topic of road improvements, the road by Roach's Pub is also down for restoration improvement works. A budget of €200,000 for that road also, and one of the areas that it passes through is Derry Varogue. So that's an update on the roads there in those areas. They are on the road improvement work schedule and work will be carried out later in the year. Let's go to the Naas area where Social Democrats councillor Bill Clear is with us. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Owen. Morning, listeners.
Local issues that you've been raising, Bill, in the Naas and Salins area, and first of all, these infamous bollards in Salins that were installed as part of safety for cyclists travelling through the town. On paper, a great idea, Bill, but in practice, they just get run over time and time again by cars and trucks.
Yeah, I suppose it's just reminding that the reason they were there is to protect people, you know, who are cycling and in the village, you know, to being hit by cars. And there has been a number of them. And there has been in Salins, as you know well, many serious accidents and some fatalities, you know. So the whole idea of all these ramps, these junctions, these bollards were to make the village much safer. And you can see it, the speeds in the village on those signs has been reduced right down because of them. The bollards being black and dirty, it's an issue to people hit them. Now, it's better to hit them than hit the person on the bike, you know. Mm. And it is fairly treacherous to be pre-these to go through Salins on a bike myself occasionally, you know. So they are replacing them, and the good news is they've only put orange ones, you know, replacing all the ones, the orange ones. And I know Tom Cross was on to me about coming out of the waterways, that when the buses were swinging, they'd hit one. So they're not going to put one, they're not going to replace that one, which means it gives a chance for the bus to swing. Mm. So, yeah, look, that's good news. They're going to replace them. So that's,
okay.
That's
grand. Do you know as well, Bill, are these temporary bollards or is this now permanent? Because as I understood it, I thought they were temporary. It was a temporary measure.
Yeah, it's temporary until they're going to put in the permanent scheme, which is proper cycle lanes. And they are drawing up the plans for all of that, you know. So it goes through a certain state of different stages. So first they draw up the plans, then they consult with the public. Then they look at what the people are said, and then they do what's called detailed plans. And once detailed plans, then they go to build it, you know. So okay. It takes a little bit of time, but it's kind of a pilot to see what works, what doesn't work, like thing, what I said with the bus swinging and different things. But they look, we're lucky that the road in Salins is wide enough for everybody, you know, the pedestrians, the cyclists and the cars. And that, you know, we have the ring road trying to encourage by a truck ban for people who don't need to go into the village to go around, you know. So it's a breaking eggs. It has to be done for the safety of people.
All right, if we go into Naas then and out on the Kilcullen Road, Bill, a lot of people will know there's a number of new housing estates gone up there with quite a lot of houses being built in that area. You want the council to write to Local Link requesting a town bus service be reinstated in Naas to serve those extra residents and kind of link them up with the town centre and on to Sallins and further areas.
Yeah, I think we had a town bus going around a number of years ago and it was cancelled. Kevin has just said that they weren't doing it anymore because it was going to Clane, it was going through the town, and we don't really need that anymore. We needed a bus going around the Naas, Sallins, Kill, Johnstown area, you know, kind of looping around, bringing in all those estates who have nothing. So if you think about a person who lives out, say, Whitewell, Piper's Hill, all those out there, and if they don't have access to a car, and particularly if you had a car and you're in your, you know, you're not able to drive the car and you don't feel drive the car anymore because of your age, you know, and you want to come to a funeral or to mass or to shop and whatever, you really have no way of getting in. It's too far out, you know. So what I've asked for is a town bus, and the bus will be the bus will go around these things. Now they haven't been Nav and Balbriggan at Lone, all smaller populations than Naas. So what we're doing is asking that they give us one for Naas. So Local Link are brilliant. I mean, they really look at it, look for the funding and do it. So that's what we're going to write to them, looking for that kind of arrangement, which I think will be good.
Okay, similarly then, issues to do with buses. You wanted to know if there's plans to install a bus stop on the Newbridge Road at Jigginstown Castle on the approach to Naas, similar to the one that's on the other side of the road heading for Newbridge.
Yeah, the same situation. It's bizarre. There's actually a bus. There's a bus going to in direction Newbridge, but there's nothing coming back the other direction opposite. I mean, there's no bus on the upside of the road, you know. So people are at Castle Farm or at Ardstone. They've no way of getting They've no way of getting into town or onto the station in Sallins, you know. They'd have to walk to the fire station or up to Lidl. So it's kind of an anomaly that there was no bus stop put there. But hopefully, anyway, I just pointed out to them. They said they'd definitely look into it and all that, you know. So, hopefully, we'll see you soon.
Finally then, Bill, this is something that you've been on about for the last while. It's the site out on the Dublin Road that is lying derelict at the moment, and you have been quite vocal about your disappointment in that area. What's the latest?
Yeah, a site belonging to Applegreen, and they have not moved on it properly, in my view. So they had to come up with a master plan, and they had 12 months to do so, with Kildare County Council, with TII, with NTA. And one of the steps is to do what's called a traffic management study, and they have to do that first. Now, apparently that's almost complete. And then they move on to a master plan. Sorry, just to be clear, a master plan is when the council and developers and all relevant parties come together and they decide, you know, this will work, this won't work, this type of thing, you know.
And just
traffic coming off the motorway.
Yeah,
know?
Just to put it into context for people as well, it's just beside the big ball there in Naas. Is it the old concrete pipes facility?
Oh, yeah. It's a CMEX. It's a big, horrible, derelict site that is sitting in the approach to Naas, and it's horrendous. And, it, you know, there is nowhere in the country that people living in a building like that, you know. We're the only one, and we were all turning a blind eye, including all of us as councillors, to that, you know, and not intentionally. It just kind of like it's been there forever, and sure, look, that's the way it is. But these people, you know, they have to be housed properly by the housing, and the council are willing to do that, and they are willing to help. But we cannot have a situation whereby these poor people are in daylight today, lashing rain, freezing cold, and a derelict site that's belonging to a big major company that has major profits, and they're just leaving it unsecured, left the way it is. So I keep putting pressure on them, the council, you know, to come up with a plan and sort this out once and for all. I got Donnelly's mirror sorted out by putting on the derelict site, and that's all flattened now, and that will go into a proper industrial unit for some, you know, of somebody, you know what I mean? We'll use it because that's what's for, you know?
And what did Kildare County Council say back to you about this site?
They said that this traffic management is just complete. This is like a phase just before this master plan. But I think putting pressure is what we do, is our job, and I know they... we'll prioritise stuff and we all come at it as councillors and we work well as councillors and we're all fairly in agreement that this needs to be sorted out once and for all. And from a Tidy Towns hat, put my Tidy Towns hat on, we'll never win anything in this town. We've won Eyeball twice. We'll never win it, the competition, with that site the way it is, because it's just, and it's absolute, I know politicians use these expressions, but it's an absolute disgrace that a company that big should be able to just leave something like that. At the least, they should start, you know, they should look, process of starting out working with us to rehouse those people and then demolish the site. Like fair play to Donald Muir's site. That's what happened, you know?
So, okay.
Yeah, as you can see, I'm not happy.
All right. Social Democrats councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Bill Clear with those local issues. Thanks for that, Bill, and good morning. And yeah, that site that Bill is referencing there is the one just off the N7 turn off at the Big Ball Old Concrete Pipes facility, some of you may know it as, but at the moment it's just lying derelict there, and Bill has been raising that issue for the last while with Kildare County Council. Thanks for that, Bill.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And you're very welcome back. Well, the Federation of Irish Sport has announced the winners of the Volunteer in Sport Awards, sponsored by the National Network of 29 Local Sports Partnerships. The County Kildare Award for 2022 has been awarded to Eddie Hennessy of Clonmullion Football Club. And I'm delighted to say Eddie is on the line with us now. Good morning, Eddie, and good to talk to you.
Hey, Owen, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Eddie, and Clonmullion Football Club. I understand that you were a founding member, or certainly one of them, back 27 years ago when Clonmullion came to the fore. Is that right?
Technically, no, Owen. I'm actually there from the start, all right. Yeah, I would have been under the very first team, and I've been involved in the club since then. The club was actually founded by Mickey Rycroft and Micheál O'Neill and Ger Connell.
What's your memories of Clonmullion when it first got set up? I know there's a good few teams around the Athy area now, but when Clonmullion set up, tell us more.
Well, I had actually just finished playing with Castle Villa, with my hometown, Castle Dermot, because I was getting on a bit and my wife was expecting Ryan, our fourth child at the time. I didn't have transport over and back to Castle Dermot, you know, two or three times a week, so I'd sort of semi-retired, and the lads came to me and asked me would I be interested in getting involved with Clonmullion. Initially, I said, no, look, lads, I'm finished. but they said, sure, we'll have a friendly, come over and have a look. So what I done is I went over and had a look at the friendly in a half time, went home and got my boots, and I'm there ever since.
Really? And on that first day that you went over, you went home and got the boots, did you come on in the second half?
I did, yeah. So, yeah.
What position did you play, Eddie?
That time it would have been middle of the park, yeah, playing midfield.
Right.
So as you got older, then slowly drifted.
I would kind of picture you as a bit of a Roy Keane, to be honest, in the centre of the field, but I'm not sure.
I wouldn't go that far away, no, I wouldn't. But no, that was, yeah, at the time, so it was great, and there were a great bunch of lads like Mickey and Micheál and Jerry, you know, as I said, they started the whole thing, so.
Yeah, and when the club started out all those years ago, what were the facilities like at the time, Eddie? I'm sure difficult when you're trying to get a club up and running, but as we know, Clonmullion has grown and grown down through the years.
Yeah, well, we didn't have any facilities. We had the pitch, and that was it. And then a year or two later, we managed to get the container down there, which we fitted out as best we could. All an awful lot of local residents got involved with helping us out and that, you know, so years later, when Little moved into the old Grove Cinema site, we got some funding from them, which allowed us to apply for capital funding, which, you know, which we were able to do. And then over the years, we were able to build the dressing rooms and so on. And more recently, we were able to secure more capital funding for towards the fence, and through local sponsorship. Local business have been amazing to us over the years.
Yeah, and the club lotto as well, Eddie, people in the community who throw the few bob towards the club lotto, I'm sure that helps to raise funds to upgrade the facilities, clubhouse, etc.
It does, big time, yeah. It's, we're actually partners with Castle Villa, my old club. When they started up, they asked if we wanted to be involved, which we did. So we've been partnering with Castle Villa all those years as well. Like, it's our main source of income, and the driving force behind that since she's come in has been Sabrina Doyle. I mean, we've gone from selling, you know, a few tickets here and there to selling a huge amount of tickets, and it's through a lot of her work and in fundraising and getting selling those lot of tickets every week. You know, it's brilliant.
Tell us a little bit about the success that Clonmullion have had in recent years, and particularly this year, the titles that were won this season, I should say, Eddie. I'm sure that's something that a lot of people in the Clonmullion club are very proud of.
Absolutely, yeah. We became the first club in Kildare to win the Trinity, or the Treble, whichever you want to call it, which is the senior division. We were senior division champions. We won the senior division cup, and we also won the Lumsden League Cup, which is the overall cup. We were the first to do all three in the same season. But in fairness, you know, we've been building for the last few years, going back to when Martin Redmond was the one who's been building this team over the years, and we won the Premier Division, Premier Double. Went on then to win the, under Martin, to win the Lumsden Cup and the Senior Division Cup. And then Martin sort of took a step away for a while because he'd been with us for years and years and kept it going when things were really, really tough, you know. And Brian Kenny came in with, and Brian Hickey actually came in as well, Brian Kenny. But Barry Hughes, who's been the coach for all those years, going back to Martin Redmond's things, like, Barry has been the mainstay there as well, all the way through. And we're very lucky with the lads we have, like Sam Brophy, Derek Brophy has come in as well and been a huge help. And last year we also started a second team, first time ever to have another senior team under the stewardship of John Donovan. And he has, like, Stephen Davis, Bicky Davis and Richie Maloney and Mark Day, you know, helping him out, and Barry Foley. So, I mean, it's great to have the caliber of lads involved. It's fantastic, and all ex-players as well.
Indeed, you know? and that's what helps clubs like Clonmullion and other clubs around the county and the country grow as well, is those volunteers that work that's behind right. the scenes. And they've all done fantastic work. You mentioned some of the names there, Eddie, but what about yourself? I know it's not easy to talk about yourself in that way, but you have been doing it for 27 years. We're told that you live and breathe Clonmullion, and I know even from being to some of the matches and seeing the photographs up on social media, you're always there. You're always one of the first down at the club. It's something that you love, which I'm sure makes it a lot easier, Eddie.
I do. I love it. You know, I really love it. Fantastic club and a great bunch of lads, you know. We've had our ups and downs. We've had a lot of bad times as well, you know, and it's like everything. You just keep going because you love what you do. And I got a good education with Castle Villa, you know, all those years ago, with the likes of Tommy Connell and Ollie Coleman, Johnny Cosgrave, John Savage. The list goes on. You know, like Alan Proctor, young Tommy Connell. All those people, you learn from those, and you try and bring those things to Clonmullion. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to have great people around me. So I suppose it's not a chore. It's a pleasure, you know. I love doing it.
Well, on that note and with those words, that's a fantastic way to end it, and it's all culminated in the success that Clonmullion have had in recent years, and due to no small part in the work that you're doing, Eddie, and the other volunteers on the committee there as well. So well done to you, Eddie Hennessy of Clonmullion FC, winning the Kildare Award for the Volunteer of the Year for 2022 in terms of sport. Well done, Eddie, and thanks for joining us again.
Thanks very much, Ron. Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah, great chatting to Eddie, and of course you can email us as well, studio@kfmradio.com, or you can speak to Donna or Quiva on the phones by calling 045 898 999. Let's go back to the Naas Municipal District with Labour Councillor Anne Breen. Morning, Anne.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners. Did you get my message this morning?
I did indeed, Anne. You might tell us a little bit more, some news in relation to Salins train station, is it?
Yes, I've been working with a chap called Gerard Lynch, and he's the regional manager for the building and maintenance for Irish Rail. Now, I've been working with the residents in Railway Terrace, you know where the cottages are.
Yeah.
And he informed me that they have acquired funding to do the whole surface and put in ramps in that area for the future. I think it's going to be done within the next couple of months. So I'm working with our David Reel, our engineer, and hopefully we get a yellow box outside on the main road. Do you know, as you come over the bridge to go in right at the entrance of the Railway Terrace, that's what I'm working on. So
right.
There's good news this morning about especially for the residents in Railway Terrace and the cottages.
Yeah, and also for people who might be parking in the train station and have to come out, because it is quite a dangerous turn when you come out. You have to come back on yourself to try and get up over the bridge. So certainly welcome there from a road safety point of view. So thanks for that update, Anne.
Thank you.
What about Primrose Gardens in Naas? Did you get an update from the council there in terms of the issues on the taking in charge of that estate?
Yeah, I'm still not very happy with what I heard yesterday. Really, the Primrose Gardens is 17 years and this estate really is looking to be taken in charge. They are in negotiations with the developer and the developer is not coming up with any reports. So I would like to see what reports is coming from the developer to enable the estate to be taken in charge, and I will work on this. It's on the progress report and hopefully within the next couple of months we'll get some finish on this estate.
All right, I see that you want the council to provide a road narrowing sign warning motorists that the road narrows suddenly leaving the town on the Craddockstown Road. Tell us a little bit more about where this is, Anne.
Now, the Craddockstown Road is, do you know where the nursing home is on the Craddockstown Road? You go up the Ballycane Road, you turn left, and the school's up, there's a school up there, the Naas Primary Community School. There's a lot of new housing developments up there, but that road was the walking road for Punchestown in years gone by and was a very, very safe road. So residents in the area beyond the nursing home feel that it is a narrow road and people don't realise it. So there's lorries going up there, there's delivery vans going up there, and they're actually going into people's houses, into people's gardens to turn and try and get back out again. So the engineer told me yesterday that the sign is in situ, and I want to thank the Naas Municipal District Engineer David Veal and his team for putting up the sign, which was put up yesterday.
Okay, and any sign of a public waste bin in the Piper's Hill area of Naas out on the Cullen Road there?
No, I'm working with the Tidy Towns and I congratulate the Tidy Towns on all the work that they're doing. Now, there's two ladies go up the Kilcullen Road 2 and 3 times a week. One lady actually had a knee replacement and she's back out again after 2 months. So you can see how dedicated this lady is. And they go up 2 or 3 times every week and they pick up litter up the Kilcullen Road. There's no bins out on the left-hand side, but there's one bin in Broadfield, which is on the right-hand side, which is a good distance from the Piper's Hill area. There's a lot of schools up there. There's a lot of housing estates up there. And on a regular basis, they could be up there nearly every day picking up litter. So they want to know, could they put a bin there so they could put the rubbish in bags and put a label on it for the council to collect. Now, I have spoken to David Reel about this and he said he would look into it. But I'll come back to you and let you know what's happening.
All right, and finally then, Anne, what are the plans for the parklets in Naas Town, the famous parklets there on the main street across from the town hall?
Oh, the parklet is a disaster, Owen. Everybody that I've been talking to, traders that I have been talking to, don't want any more parklets. And the question is, are they going to put in more parklets? I think they are, but I don't think it's working. The one on the main street is going to be moved. And I said, before it's moved to any other area in the town, I think they should let the traders know and let people know where they're going to put it. So until now, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think it's an awful waste of money that this parklet is put on North Main Street. And, you know, it's very, very difficult for cars to go up and down there. It's very dangerous and it's very seldom ever used.
Right. So is it really the location that you're against, Anne, or the parklet itself? Because some people would say that the actual idea is not bad in terms of outdoor dining, but just where it is, people were complaining that, you know, it was in front of their sight line.
Yeah, but when you think about it, it obstructed people on the path, people were coming down the main street, even people with disabilities. And I'm getting phone calls, I was getting phone calls and emails with people with disabilities, people with buggies, It's a very, very narrow part of the town, and I don't think it is working. And if it is to be moved to any other part of the town, I would suggest that they should let traders know in that particular area where they're going to put it.
Okay. Labour councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Anne Breen, with those local issues. Thanks for joining us, Anne, and good morning. Now, just to remind you, and I know that Caoimhe will have more on this in our news bulletins throughout the day, but the boil water notice remains in place in Castledermot and also in parts of North Carlow. And that boil water notice came into effect last night, or actually the night before, so Monday night into the early hours of Tuesday morning. It's affecting Castledermot, Grainy and Davidstown, as well as Palatine, Killerig, Grange, Rathvilly, Tullow Town, Ardatton, Ballon, Ratho, Benacerry, Tankardstown, and that's in Carlow, and also Liscolman in County Wicklow. More information on our website, kfmradio.com, and also on the water website, water.ie.